This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think for a moment. Think if you had a six-year-old daughter, and your six-year-old daughter was abducted, and you don't know where she is, and this goes on for days, for weeks, for months. Think of parents in that type of situation. And if you look to the news over the last few years, you've probably heard stories just like that, where some little girl is taken away, abducted, sexually abused, and murdered. That is suffering for those parents, ladies and gentlemen. That is suffering for that little girl and little boy who may have experienced the same thing. We've heard many stories like that over the last couple years in the news. Or think about this. Think back to World War II. Think about what was going on in this world at that time. Think of the Holocaust that was perpetrated on the Jews during World War II. Imagine a boxcar, a train pulling up to one of these concentration camps, Bergen-Belsen or Dachau or Auschwitz, and people getting off these trains and someone deciding who's going to live and who's going to die. Families being ripped apart right there. And later, some family members even having to bury members of their family during the concentration camp life that they lived. Imagine going through that. Imagine having a dreaded disease like cancer or diabetes or AIDS or whatever that disease may be. Imagine suffering through that pain. Imagine being a loved one that goes through that, and then you have to deal with that loved one who is going through that. This is suffering. This is something that's in the world. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that there's suffering in this world. You can look at the newspapers every day. You could watch the news every night. You will see crime in our major American cities. You will see wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other parts of this world. You have terrorism out there, people being blown apart and blown to bits. That is suffering. This world gives us a heavy dose of suffering, and many people have a problem with suffering. They question, why is there suffering in this world? They question why God would allow suffering in this world. In fact, many people who are agnostic or who are atheists use the question of why suffering as one of their reasons as to why they don't believe in God or why they are not sure if there is a God or there is not a God. What we're going to do on today's program is we're going to look at this question of suffering. The Bible provides reasons for why there is suffering on this earth, and we're going to address some of those reasons. We're also going to look at some other things in relation to suffering today that may have you understand this problem of suffering a little bit better, and we're going to get that information from the pages of your Bible. In order to do this, we first want to offer you some literature on today's program, and we also want to offer you a free CD. Now, the literature I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, When Tragedy Strikes. When Tragedy Strikes. This booklet will look at a number of issues. It will talk about the certainty of death. It will talk about the fact that life is short and accidents do happen. It will mention that God does allow man to be at risk in this world, but it will also provide you with hope because it will tell you that death is not the end. Death is not the end, and that helps many people deal with the problem of suffering in this world. I also want to offer you a free CD. This is a sermon that I did, and in this sermon, which is titled Why Suffering, we look at the various reasons why there is suffering in the world from the pages of your Bible. We'll look at sin. We'll look at Satan the devil. We'll look at time and chance, and we will even deal with some suffering, which is a mystery that we don't have an explanation for. But there is something else that we need to remember in this regard, and that is that God sometimes uses suffering for a greater good. We will get into all those concepts in that particular sermon CD. So please order When Tragedy Strikes and also the CD, Why Suffering. To get both of those items free of charge, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. Again, that's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can send us a note via email. Go to our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Go to the connection for Contact Us, and there's where you can send us that note. Again, I want to thank you for joining us on today's program. We're looking at this question of suffering. You know, why is there suffering in the world? And as I said before, this causes many people to not believe in God or to question whether or not there is a God. I read a book this year by an author named Bart Ehrman. Now, Ehrman's interesting because he's a professor at North Carolina University, and he's a professor of biblical studies and religion. Now, why is it interesting? Well, Ehrman was actually a conservative Christian believer. He grew up believing staunchly in the Bible and staunchly in God. But over time, he's become an agnostic, and he says the main reason that he's an agnostic in his book has to do with the problem of suffering in the world. He doesn't feel that the biblical reasons are enough for him to understand why there's suffering in the world. Well, I disagree with Mr. Ehrman, and I want to look at some of those reasons from your Bible as to why there's suffering in the world so we can better understand this problem. Now, the first area I want to look at has to do with sin. The Bible talks about sin leading to suffering in the world. And suffering comes from sin to individuals because God must punish sin. God is a God of justice, and He must punish sin. And you can see this example right at the beginning with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, and what did God say to them? He says, now you're going to have to get your food, Adam, through the sweat of your brow. Now you're going to have to work for it. And throughout history, man has had to work to survive. And for some people, I know some people love their jobs, but many people consider their jobs a task. They feel that their jobs are sometimes a bit of suffering, and that's true for some people. Now, he also mentioned to the woman that you are now going to have pain in childbearing. And that is true. I know many women who have had children, and they feel terrific pain in bearing that child and also carrying that child. So we see this established right at the beginning that God punishes the sin of mankind. Now, He also punishes us through death because all have sinned and all will die because of that. But He also offers a resurrection in the future, and we can't lose sight of that particular fact. So we have these individual punishments that we see in life based upon what the Bible tells us, because God is just and He must punish sin. But we also see it on a national scale. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Over in the book of Amos, if you turn to Amos chapter 1 and begin reading in verse 3, it says the following. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon. And one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, the people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. And if you read through the book of Amos, you will see other nations that are being punished by God for their national sins, for what they have done to other peoples. So we see this established fact here that suffering comes because God must punish sin. But remember, who has committed these sins? Who has gone the wrong way? Mankind has done these sins and gone the wrong way, and some suffering comes from God's punishment on mankind. Now, speaking of sins, man also sins against man. Man murders man. Man robs man. Man rapes men and women. We see these examples in our news every day. This suffering is suffering that men and women bring upon themselves within our society today. So we see that suffering comes from just the sins that man perpetrates on mankind and womankind. Now, we can go even further there, and we can look at individual things that man and woman do to themselves that lead to suffering. We can talk about alcoholism. We can talk about smoking. And you're not guaranteed of getting cancer if you smoke, but there's a high likelihood if you smoke long enough and hard enough, you will develop cancer from that. And cancer is a suffering disease, ladies and gentlemen, but many of us can bring that upon ourselves. Many of us get involved with alcohol and become alcoholics, and that leads to suffering in this world. Not only for your family who lives with an alcoholic, but also for the danger for drunk drivers out on our roads today, and we've all seen those stories in the news. So we see that a lot of suffering in this world is suffering that is brought upon mankind through mankind himself. There is other suffering in the world, though, and we want to address that. What I'd like to do is I'd like to switch gears before I get to that other suffering, and I want to talk about how God can use suffering in the world. And this is an important concept to understand, that God can use this suffering for a greater good. And that's something to remember when we're dealing with suffering. Now, you may all have had experiences in your life that seemed negative at one time, that made you think like, woe is me, and this is terrible, and, you know, why did this happen? But if you thought long about it and hard enough about it, and you looked on it later, you might realize that that terrible thing that happened to you at that time was actually a positive thing for you when you look down the road at what happened to you because of that particular incident. I'll give you an example from my own life so you understand this a little bit better. When I was about 24 or 25 years of age, I was dating a young lady, and I thought we were going to get married. We had been talking about marriage, we had been talking about engagement, and to make a long story short, right about that time we were talking about these things, I was dumped. Now, I was dumped in a severe way. I was dumped through some untruths, through some lies, and finally, I realized, I put two and two together when I saw this young lady walking with another man at the place I used to work. So, again, this threw me for a loop because I was not expecting that. And I was down. I was upset for about 6 months. But in starting to channel my energies into other areas to get my mind off of that situation, I got back into college. It started me down the road in getting my master's degree. It started me down the road in doing volunteer work and giving back to my society. So that negative thing that happened to me, which kept me thinking negatively for, I'd say, about 6 months or so, was actually a positive thing because of it was the impetus that led me into these other areas that I really grew from. And now when I look back on that that experience, I think that's one of the best things that happened to me in my life because of what I learned about interpersonal communication, relationships. I can now give this information to others, and also what I gained from the other areas I started to get to endeavor into that has enhanced my existence and my humanity. So we also see this in Scripture. God talks about this. He sets this up as being one of the reasons why there's suffering in the world may have to do with God being able to use that and help us learn valuable lessons from it. I cite a Scripture over in Genesis, if you want to turn there with me. This is over in Genesis chapter 50. And I'm going to pick it up in a moment in verse 19. But let me set this up for those of you that aren't familiar with the story. Joseph was someone who had it going on as a young boy. He was the most favored son of his father. He was so favored that his other brothers became jealous of him. And it got to the point where some of them wanted to kill him. To make a long story short with Joseph, what happened was his brothers sold him into slavery. He ended up in Egypt, and things didn't go much better for him initially in Egypt, because what happened was he ended up in jail because he was accused of rape. Now, he did not rape anyone, but he ended up in jail, and after that particular point, things did start to turn. What happened with Joseph was he eventually became a chief political figure in Egypt. And with being a chief political figure in Egypt, he was able to save his family from starvation when there was a famine in the land in which his family lived. And notice what Joseph says about this. Remember, we're reading from the inspired word of God, so we need to listen to what it's saying to us. And here's how Joseph sums up the whole situation. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 19, it says this: Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Now that's an important concept for you to remember. There are many examples in the Bible where God uses the negative to bring about the positive. God uses the negative for people to learn valuable lessons. And sometimes those valuable lessons are only learned when we are hit between the eyes by something, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it takes that for us to get a point. And God, of course, is a father. He's working with us. He's developing us and making us into more than what we are. There are other examples in your Bible like this. I want to show you one in the New Testament. This is over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to pick it up. This is when the church just got started, and imagine being in that church at that time. You know, you've maybe seen Jesus Christ. You maybe have been aware of the story about Him. And you're on fire for this new truth that everybody's talking about. But what happened soon after the church got going was they were persecuted. Check this out in Acts 8 and verse 1. "Now Saul was consenting to his death." This is speaking of the death of Stephen, who was one of the leaders of the church at that time. So you're there in the church and you realize one of your leaders has now been martyred, and now the church is being persecuted. "At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Now notice verse 4. "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Did you get that? What happened because of the persecution? It led the believers to move out from where they were into other regions of the world and spread the word of God, the word of hope for mankind. It got them out of where they were into other regions. God used this persecution to get them to preach that word into other regions. And we know the rest of the story. That message has gone to this entire world to some degree. And it's because of persecution initially right here. God using the negative and making it into a positive. Another example of this deals with death. Because death is one of the great sufferings of life, isn't it? We all suffer because of death. We all lose loved ones. Some we lose before their time of 70 or 80 or 90 years of age. And that's when it's really tragic, isn't it? But God even uses death. Let me show you an example of this. It's over in the book of John. Let's go ahead and turn there to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I'm going to pick it up in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Now get this. Jesus loves this guy. He loves his sisters. He loves this family. And this guy's sick. They know Jesus can perform miracles. Okay? And what happens? Notice verse 4. "When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" So you'd think if Jesus loves these people, he's going to get there as quick as he can, right? To take care of this sickness. That's what we think, right? But what happens? Notice verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Now, ladies and gentlemen, why did he stay 2 more days where he was if this guy's sick and very sick? He stayed there, I believe. The implication from Scripture, if you read down through the rest of this chapter, is Jesus knew Lazarus would die. And Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And what did he say this sickness was for? "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now think about the suffering the two sisters may have gone through in the interim for those 3 days and 3 nights, leading into a 4th day that Lazarus was dead. They were suffering because of that. And Jesus allowed that for a period of time, didn't he? But then what did he do? He showed that he had the power over life and death. And that's what Scripture tells us, that God will resurrect all people at some time. You know, some before others. We can read about this in 1 Corinthians 15. We can read about it in Revelation chapter 20. We don't have time to get into that today, but it's a truth of Scripture. God has the power over life and death. Suffering is for a period of time, but it will end, ladies and gentlemen. We can't lose sight of that. And what's to come is greater than the brief suffering we endure in this world. But we see how God uses suffering in this world for a greater good, for His plan. And we got to remember, it's about God and His plan. It's not necessarily about us. We get wrapped up in ourselves, and I can understand that. You know, I can understand that. And God can understand that too. But we got to realize why there is suffering in this world. We got to look at Scripture for those answers. Another area why there's suffering in the world has to do with an evil force in this world. Satan, the devil, the adversary, is in this world. And he is trying to corrupt this world. He is trying to lead this world astray. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says that Satan has deceived the whole world. He's led people into wrong modes of thinking that have led to crime, that have led to corruption, that have led to a number of evil things in this world. Satan does not answer the question of all suffering in this world, but Satan is involved in some of the suffering, a lot of the suffering that we experience in this world. Another area that I'd like to mention, and we give you more information on this in that CD, has to do with time and chance, ladies and gentlemen. Time and chance. Let's take a look back in our Bibles at the book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. And I'd like to read something to you there in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. Notice what this says. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net. Get this. Like fish taken in a cruel net. Speaking about mankind, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. What's he trying to say here? He's trying to say here, time and chance happen to us all in life. We're at risk in this life. Yes, God could keep us and save us from dying in an auto accident or a plane crash, but he doesn't do that all the time. And there's a reason why he does not do that. We get more in depth into that, into that CD. Please get that CD we mentioned. You also see Jesus talking in Luke 13 about the Tower of Siloam. Many thought that the people in that tower died because they were greater sinners than others. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. He's saying, he's relating back here to what we're reading in Ecclesiastes, that time and chance happen in this world. And there's a reason for it. And also there's a mystery to some suffering, ladies and gentlemen. We can't understand all suffering in this world. But let me say this, that in Romans chapter 8 and 18, God does say this, and I'd like to leave you with this thought as we leave this particular subject. In Romans 8 and verse 18, notice what God says. He says, notice what the writer is saying, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What's to come will trump all the suffering we're going through in this life right now. We can't lose sight of that. Please get that CD, get that booklet, and remember, as it says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, there will come a time when all suffering will end. God will put an end to all suffering, and it will be finished, ladies and gentlemen, and we look forward to that time. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Armor of God. We hope to see you again on another edition. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.